This evening, I would like to just say it is a blessing to be here at Iowa Yearly Meeting. It is a blessing to be here in a building where there are believers that are putting Jesus Christ first in their hearts and their lives. And it's a privilege for Mom and I to be here for the recording of Kathy Berry. So we're very privileged and very blessed this evening. Would you stand with me as we sing some songs of worship and praise? The first one we're going to sing is 10,000 Reasons. Before we sing the next song, I would like to read Matthew 4, 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Where He Leads Me is our next song. You may go ahead and be seated. We do have one more song to sing. But before we do that, I would like to say that a year ago, in line at the USFW banquet, is where Kathy introduced herself to me. Of course, last year, for those that don't know, Cindy Norman and my mom, Norma Waters, attend New Sharon Friends, and we had not been involved in the yearly meeting. We had been a part of another denomination for a while, but we decided to come home. And so I had never met Kathy, and I was being kind of shy since I hadn't seen some of you for like 10 years. And so she introduced herself, and I went back to the table, and I just told Myron, I said, "Myron, I just met somebody that loves Jesus." I mean, in that little short conversation, she was just telling me about her love for Jesus and how Jesus had come into her life and how she was following him. And then, I think it was after Pastor Short Course, maybe it's called, and Marlene was talking about there were some smaller churches in Iowa Yearly Meeting that, were just, struggling and, seeking God and finding out where their place was. And we, as New Sharon Friends Church, is a very small congregation. And our hearts were just touched by Marlene's report of these small churches. And so at that moment, I remembered that Kathy was a part of, Earlham Friends, and that it was a small congregation, and Marlene had talked to her. And so we decided, as a prayer meeting, we meet on Wednesday nights and pray, that we would go up to Earlham and pray with Earlham Friends Church. And so we took off one Wednesday night, and it ended up not being very many of us. It ended up being my husband, Myron, myself, and Mom. And we got to meet some of her congregation, and we got to hear their, their heart cry and their struggles. And we just were, touched by them, and we just, tried to put some confidence in them that it's okay to be a small church. And so we just prayed together, and then we've just kind of tried to touch base every once in a while, just saying, just listen to God and just follow him. So that's how I know Kathy, and that's why I get to be a part of this service, and that's why it's so exciting to be here and be a part of that. Thank you, Kathy. The last song we're going to sing is probably nobody ever knows it, because it came from a musical, Down by the Creek Bank. Randy maybe remembers it. That doesn't mean we're the same age, does it, Randy? Yes, I think so. Okay. Anyway, in this musical, and actually I did it at my daycare, is a little song called "Is There Anything I Can Do For You?" And in it, it asks some questions. And this evening, not only do I want Kathy to think about the words, but I want Iowa Yearly Meeting to think about the words, because it's not only Kathy who is going to follow where Jesus leads her, but it's going to be all of us. So as we sing this little short song, it's very catchy. You'll be able to, sing with us. Just think of the questions it asks. The first question is there anything I can do for you?
Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to this meeting where we are going to record Kathy Berry as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would like all recorded ministers in Iowa Yearly Meeting to please stand. Thank you. It seems to me that in a recording service, just like when I attend a wedding and I hear those marriage vows, and I remember when I stood before the Lord and vowed before him and to my husband, that this is an opportunity for each one of the recorded ministers of Iowa Yearly Meeting to remember and to cherish those vows. Like Cindy said, it's not just for pastors, because God calls each one of us to be ministers of the gospel. So Kathy, I've asked her to come and to share a few words with us. So please come, Kathy.
Yes, Brenda, I am standing up. Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody here in Iowa Yearly Meeting that has walked with me on this journey. This is kind of a capstone of 10 years of discovery and learning to be a Quaker pastor, and just a journey that, as I look back upon, has just been a wonderful thing for me and my family. I also just want to take a few moments and thank Earl and Friends Church, my church family that's here. I love you guys, and thank you so much for taking a chance and hiring me, because this has been such a blessing in my life. I can't leave this stage because every one of you that knows me knows I have to say something about Jesus, okay? I am proof that Iowa Yearly Meeting is cranking out believers. May not be the young ones always, but it may be the person that you see on the street. And we've been talking a lot this week about reaching those for Jesus. And if I wasn't reached out to, I wouldn't be here tonight. What I want to tell you is that what you have in this Jesus is a treasure, and not a little treasure. Because if you've ever walked in darkness, you know the blessing that it is to have the Lord. So tonight, if you don't take anything from this week or tonight's service, take this. That person that God leads you to on the street could be me 10 years ago. Don't hesitate to share that gospel, please. If you don't learn anything else this week, learn that, because we are in the business of disciple making. Amen.
I would like the Earl and Friends people to please stand to be recognized. Oh, there they are.
And down here.
Very good. Would any of you like to speak? I want to give you that opportunity. All right. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? And they're going to be quick with the microphone. We would be remiss if we did not listen to words of Scripture from Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, the Word of God, for Kathy. So I would like to read some Scripture, and then we're going to have prayer for Kathy and gather around her. So first I would like to read Scripture. I love Scripture, and anyone that ever has been at New Sharon Friends knows that I read a lot of Scripture, because Scripture is powerful, and it's full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and I believe that as the Lord led me to this Scripture, he was thinking of Kathy. So, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. I would ask Mary Glenn to come forward. She has been Kathy's sponsor. She was my sponsor as well. What a treasure Mary Glenn is. We can both say that, can't we? And the Lord really has led me that I would like to anoint Kathy this evening. So I want Mary Glenn to come, and those of you that will support Kathy to come round and lay hands on her, and I will anoint her, and Mary Glenn will lead us in prayer. So let's go down.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Kathy. We thank you that you saw her even when she was wandering around in darkness and didn't know you. We thank you for the one who saw her on the street and became a friend and showed her the way to Christ. We thank you for the church that took her in. And Lord, we thank you for the transformation that we have seen in her life, which only comes through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you have filled her with your Spirit, that you have called her to do through her. May she know that we are supporting her and that we will pray for her as she continues her ministry. Guide her each day, and may she look to you for each step. Give her wisdom beyond her own. May she grow deeper in the love of Jesus and in the knowledge of Jesus. And may she be given that gift to really share you in such a way that others who have never met you will come to know you through her. Thank you, Lord. We commit Kathy to you and her ministry to you, and know that you will guide her and that she will be faithful. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Awesome. I got together for your first interview. We asked you to share a little bit about yourself, and you began to preach. And you started to cry. And there'll be some out there that won't believe this, but when somebody starts to cry, I usually do too. As a matter of fact, when their voice starts to crack, I start to cry. And then when we interviewed you a couple days ago for your exit interview, we asked you to share a couple things with us about your life, and you began to cry. And so I had to hold it back in again. But there are wonderful stories about the gospel of Christ. And I know that's what you share with your congregation. And as one of the members of the monthly, or as the Iowa Yearly Meeting Ministry and Council, we're supposed to go visit these churches. I'm going to be visiting yours pretty soon.
Come see us.
Yes. So, anyway, I was passing Mary Glenn Hadley earlier today. We were paths crossed, and I say, are we ready for tonight? And I told her then that, you know, it is such a privilege for me to have a signature on here, especially for you, Kathy. It's just, I can't put it into words. I mean, it really is a privilege to have my signature on here with your certificate. But I would like to read this first before I hand this to you. Says the Iowa Yearly Meeting fully recognizes Kathy Diane Berry as a minister of the gospel with the full rights and privileges of the ministerial status in the Friends Church, having been recommended by Earlham Monthly Meeting and Iowa Yearly Meeting on Ministry and Council under the advisement of the Committee of Training on the Recording of Ministers. Kathy, I present to you your certificate. Thank you so very much.
Let's celebrate tonight. We had a good week. I want to hear about what you did today in your service projects. I want to hear the lives that were touched. I want to hear stories of how you were challenged this week, even made uncomfortable, and I'll actually survive to tell it. So if you'd like to be seated, feel free to be seated. But I would love to hear stories. I would love for you to share the work projects that you did, the things that you did, the things that you shared, the people that you met. And we'll continue as we go. Come on, don't be shy. Everybody got a story. Come on now.
So we went over to the Habitat House, and it seems like the paint had been frozen or was really old or something, and somewhere along the lines, it seemed like we were painting with cottage cheese. And it was really interesting. It slowed us down a little bit, but we made it through, and It was really fun just to get to know some of the other people that I hadn't really had a chance to get to know. And, we just kind of worked together cheerfully, and I didn't get to see the owner like I was hoping, but it was still a really fun time, and, we got to see Lloyd covered in paint, and that's always good. So
I stopped in the painting house, and I was wondering if painting paint was actually getting on the walls or if it was just getting on the folks that were painting. Somebody else, share a story, something that you experienced today, maybe through the week, just something.
I want to start out with requesting that you all be in prayer for the caulking that Alan and I tried to put on the trailer out there. We got done about a half hour before the cloudburst came through, but we had a lot of fun. Though I did have to be careful and watch carefully, Scott kept trying to take the ladder we were using. I don't know how many times he tried to borrow it from us.
While you were on the roof.
Yeah, well, while I was on the ladder one time. Are you using that? No, I'm just hanging up here. But it is fun to go out and help your neighbors.
Amen.
And it's fun to help a stranger. You never know how much a life you will touch.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm just turning around, so I guess I'll have to look at my back. I'm with the youth, but I'm not with the youth because I'm not with the program. So I'm just kind of here, just sitting around, joining in. Yes, you're right. And we were at dinner tonight. I joined them for dinner at the MTC building, and I met this wonderful lady named Donna. I don't know where she's at right now, but I had this wonderful, oh, there she is. Her name's Donna. And we started a conversation on college, because she looks really young, and she looked like she just got out of college. So I just had to talk to her about it. And she talked about her minor in music, and that's what got us talking. And I talked about my interest in theater, and she had some great things to talk about, and it just made me so glad to find someone to talk to tonight. So thank you.
I want to thank the youth for their music and the talents they're using. God bless you.
Amen. There was other projects. I want to hear about them. I want to hear what happened.
I didn't do any work projects because I've been hanging with the babies this week. And not only with the babies, but with a couple of my own kids. Daniel and Thomas were my helpers this week. Gosh, what a blessing it is to just hold your babies and love on them and see the church. And hold our future. So let's continue to lift up and pray for these babies. That one back there. The couple that, well, the four babies that you two bring to the table. And we just enjoyed them so much.
I was on the thrift store project, and I thought I was going to be folding clothes and organizing things because that's what the title said. But it really showed me again to expect the unexpected because we actually threw away a lot of squash. They had a whole bunch of squash in this cellar that went bad and they didn't know what to do with it and they forgot about it. So I had this beautiful smell and I became an excellent squash pitcher, which I guess is a real thing. It's softball, yeah. But it was a lot of fun to interact and see, and then at the end we thought we were all together and they actually let us pick something out of the thrift store. They actually do a lot of stuff at that thrift store with women. They have a pregnancy center that they're trying to start up. They serve meals. So really being able to talk to the owner, but then I convinced everybody that Tanya went home because I couldn't find her and she was actually still there. So I had to go pick her up.
I went to do roofing, and I started to do nails, and then it turns out that I was going to weed whack.
A service project like hammering or thrift store, but there was a group of, I think, seven of us women who were praying for all of you who were doing projects, and what a blessing that was for us. We not only got to pray about all those things, but we got to pray about our communities and some other things that were near and dear to our hearts, and the Holy Spirit was definitely there. And it was a real time of blessing, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
Well, the first thing that she said when we got to the thrift store was, I thought they were going to send us men. She said, I have things that I wanted to carry out of here that I thought men would be doing. So that made Charlene especially determined that we would be able to do the things that they thought we wouldn't be able to do. So she and, was it you, tore apart the treadmill and got most of it in the dumpster before Tom came and helped pitch it in. But anyway, women can do just about anything.
Yeah. Amen to that.
I just felt a momentum shift.
Even old women can do just about anything. And one old woman was doing that this week when I've been here all week but haven't seen most anybody all week except if you have children, because I've been with a children's program, and we had 13 kids aged 6 through 12. And our theme was you are what you think. And so we had a lot of things focused around that. It was surprising to me that one of the things that I thought the kids would think is that I'm too old to be a kid. Well, guess what? I think they accepted me, because when we played water games yesterday, I got doused. So we're bombing each other with water balloons, and pretty soon the buckets all ended up on me. I don't know how that happened. So I had a great, great time with them. And of the little object lessons and things that we did, I think the very favorite one they had, because they all wanted to repeat it again and again, and I'll tell you this quickly so you can go home and you can try it yourself, and this really works, and I'm hoarse because I've been loud all week. Take a plate of water. Take a plate. So it has lips on it, so when you put water on it, it doesn't fall off. So take a plate. Fill it up to the brim with water. The water is your mind. Take black pepper, sprinkle it all on top of that water. Those are the bad thoughts, and those are the temptations, and that Satan coming in and maybe eating away at you. And what do you do to get rid of the pepper? If you take a bottle of Joy cleansing soap, dish soap, pour it right upside down and give it a good squeeze in the middle, and when you squeeze it, you say, Jesus, take away my bad thoughts. That pepper all goes to the side, and inside it's pure where Jesus lands. Each one of the kids did this, and each time, each child did say, Jesus, please take away all my bad thoughts. And so there's a lesson to learn in all of that that will be one that I will remember forever and always. And I love these kids, and it's getting to know them in a different way, because I've seen them around, but getting to be with them on a daily basis, it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of work, and I'm really tired and I need a nap.
Thank you to our children's leaders.
So I helped weed whack, and I also did a little bit of roofing, and I also did get stung by a wasp.
I might just add to the Habitat Project. If you have a chance, just it's right over here, just across the road from the Christian school, about a block and a half that way. Go look at it. This is a house for a single mom with three children, and they had kind of promised her that they would have the house done about 8 months ago. They were supposed to work on it, have it all closed in a year ago, and finish it up during the winter months, and she could have moved in last winter or early spring, whatever. But so it's been kind of discouraging, and the work that we did in June, Friends Response Team came 2 days and sweated out buckets and buckets of sweat, if you remember how hot it was the second week of June there or so, and did the sheetrocking, and what a joy today to be able to go back and paint it. I spent the first couple hours, though, mowing the lawn because it hadn't been mowed for quite a while, so it looks really good right now. Drive by and see it. But do pray for this young mother with three children, and pray especially that they might find a church home, and hopefully this church would be their home. And then if you'd like to come to the dedication, which we hope won't be too long down the road now because all the appliances are sitting over there ready to be installed. So if you'd like to come back for the dedication, those of you who painted and those that help with sheetrock, let me know and we'll let you know when it is.
Store thing is crazy. There's like squash cleaning going on at the same time as we've got clothes folding. And we also planted a patch of strawberries. And so when we went there, we were just thinking, you know, gonna sort clothes, help the community out a little. But this thrift store is so much more than just a thrift store because there's like different rooms in the basement, and they like serve free lunches for children, and there's educational programs for young mothers, and free diapers and anything that someone may need in that situation. And I just think it's so important to realize what's going on in your own community, and to take part in what's happening, and be involved in that change that's going on all around.
I'd like to hear somebody share about the Police Appreciation Project. If I think that I heard some neat things from that. Other groups, other things that were challenging this week, something you learned, something a friend you met, something. I'd like to hear the stories.
Oh, there we go. The Police Appreciation Day. Wow. Where do we start? To see the immense gratitude that they had was completely moving for my heart, and I think it was very moving for everyone who joined in as well. And they actually took us in the back, and we got to see where they call the dispatch, all the different technology in there. We were able to ask questions, and then we were actually able to pray for them. And they welcomed that, and they were very excited about that. And it was really a moving time for all of us, I think. Unfortunately, when we went to the fire department, no one was there, so we just left the note and the food and prayed for them. But on more of a personal note, we got done a little bit early, and Morgan and I were thinking, okay, what can we do now? So we walked around William Penn and did a prayer walk for probably an hour, and we prayed very specifically for about a situation, and we prayed for affirmation of that. And this evening, the Holy Spirit's definitely moving because we got that affirmation. So continued prayer for us. We won't go into details, but we'd appreciate that.
I was also at the Habitat House and with the cottage cheese paint. but a joy that I got out of that was I was back in the bathroom painting and listening to the conversation Lucas was having with another gentleman explaining the courtship of Hannah. Because this this gentleman didn't know who he was married to and everything, but listening to him recap that with somebody was very interesting, and I just kind of peeked my head out, and Lucas goes, I've got it right, you know. But it was, that was very fun for me to hear that going on.
So this doesn't really have anything to do today, and I'm sure Jared is tired of me bringing this up, because it's very special to me. So once I was a little chubby junior hire in seventh grade, and I had a moment at church camp where I poured out my heart, and the Holy Spirit was just moving, and songs were being played. Some stranger was up front singing songs, and my counselor was down with me, and he was kind of leading me in the sinner's prayer and everything. And coming to Iowa was really cool because Jared Haley was actually the worship pastor, or not the worship pastor, but the worship leader at church camp when I was saved, and he was playing music. So I've always kind of felt like that he's never known me except when I moved up here. Like maybe 6 months ago, he met me in person. But I've always felt a close bond to him, and I don't know. That's just kind of cool. It's cool to be here now and to see him play music. And I don't know. It's just kind of been refreshing and revitalizing for me. So,
did you want to share about your work project today?
No. Okay. Today we had six people in our group. We had, what was our service called? Just serving the community. Yeah. Joseph pulled us in. And we didn't know what to do. We were like, we just walk up to strangers and just say, can we serve you? So we decided that we would stop and pray first. And so we went and stopped in the square, and we sat separate, and we just prayed for a minute. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, just go. Like, I didn't even have to pray along. And I was like, all right, I'm ready. We walked around for a while, talked to a few people, but we drove around for half an hour trying to find, we heard that somebody was moving. And we're like, wow, this is great. We're just wasting our time. And as we said that, all of a sudden, on the main road, just down from the college, they were moving. There was this family moving in. And we popped out, and Jared's like, go say something. I'm like, psh, yeah. I'm going to go say something. I'm like, hey, we are going around. We just want to serve people. Can we serve you today and help you move your stuff inside your house? And they all were frozen. And we were like, we just want to serve you. Can we just help you guys? They looked so tired and they were sweating. And they were like, sure. And I'm like, all right. So we all start grabbing stuff. They're pretty much done. They only had one more, like, truckload. But they had a lot of trash and stuff, too. So we went going, and we just kind of talked to them here and there. Jared had a cool conversation. It's actually two women that are married, and one of the women got a scholarship for playing softball, and she wants to go to school. So they were moving here from California. The whole family traveled over 30 hours to get here. And so, man, I just felt like I was having fun with just regular people, and we just loved them, and that was it. And they were like, Jared had a conversation, I'll let you tell it. It was really interesting. It was really funny. Here you go.
So basically, the first guy that we were helping, he's like, so who are you guys with? Are you guys religious? And I said, well, yes and no. He's like, yes and no. What do you mean by that? I said, don't worry about it. We just want to serve you. And I said, we can talk about it more later. But then later, it was one of the other ladies. And it wasn't just the family moving in, but they actually brought family with them to help them move in. And so, I kind of started up that conversation with her. And I just let her know that we're a part of the Iowa Friends yearly meeting, and you know, the church was right over here. And she didn't even know what Friends were, you know. And I said, "Have you heard of Quakers?" And she's like, "No." And so we didn't really get into all of that stuff, other than the fact that we're just like, we're just there. It's basically all the churches in Iowa. We're meeting together, and we just wanted to serve the community today. And she was like, "Man, when you guys got out of the car, we were like, is this weird? Is this normal?" I mean, because they're coming from California, you know, and she's like, this would never, ever happen in California, you know? And but she was just so grateful, and she's like, thank you so much for just coming and being willing to help us out in something that is really, it's an easy task, but nobody really wants to do it. You know, everyone's like, hey, let's go move someone's stuff into their house, you know? But their response to us was really good. I mean, when we were all finished, we drove away, and we turned around because we wanted to reward ourselves by going to Smoky Row. And
well-deserved.
Just being honest, all right?
No. Jared rewarded us all.
And so as we were going by, we honked the horn and waved at him, and they're all like, you know. But, I mean, it was really cool just to be able to interact with complete strangers and be able to serve them and not have, I mean, I think that the first guy was thinking, okay, when is the punchline going to come, you know, or when is that bottom line, what are we trying to sell them, you know, and for us to just go and love them and say, hey, this is where we're with, this is where we're from, we just wanted to love you and serve you in Jesus' name, you know, and that's all it was. It was just, it was a real, I think it was a blessing to us, and it was a blessing to them as well.
This is just, I'm kind of like adding on to what she said about the thrift store. The building was actually once a school, which had closed down. And I think that turning an old building that once was a school into a thrift store was, I'd say that's a great place because, prices, well, are reasonable. Like, the summer lunch program for kids, when their parents can't afford money, like throughout the summer, no child will be hungry. The center, like for moms, I'd say that's a great place to kind of like a go to for people like who don't make much money. I'd say that thrift store is a great idea. Also, working there was also a great idea too. I'm glad I went there because I met up with a girl I haven't seen in a while. So, yeah.
Do you think it's safe to say that we made a difference in Oskaloosa today?
Excuse me. So.
I didn't
Sorry.
See you stand up.
Okay. So, the thrift store. I work there, I volunteer, and it is awesome. So, I like my boss, she is from Jamaica, and she talks like this. Chanel, you have to go to take care of everything. And it's so funny, I can talk Jamaican now. And recently, on Saturday, I was picking peaches from a peach tree, and no one was coming. I didn't know they had a peach tree, and it was really cool. It was awesome.
I'm afraid to talk. All hearts clear?
Well, I hung out in the park across the street for quite a bit of the day, as we have been doing a lot of this summer. And we have a feeding program for youth 18 and under, free. And we've had varying numbers throughout that time. But among the very faithful ones are these three young girls living somewhere in the neighborhood. And usually in the park, you know, it's fairly empty, not many vehicles around. But today, they came and here are all these campers. And these young girls, they usually get there early. And I said, will you help me? They've been coming so much, they know what to do when I don't know what to do. And they're really glad. But they helped me get the tables ready and so forth, and we were just sitting around talking. And they said, who are these people? What are they doing here? What are all these vehicles out there, you know? Well, how would you answer? And I stammered and stuttered like I usually do. And but I said, there are people from all around the state, and they're people who belong to our church, like the one across the street, and they're here to get together and hear preaching and be taught, and, you know, kind of stupid remarks like that that didn't make a lot of sense, but they thought that was interesting. Now, what... Don't hinge your opinion on my answer, but on their question. Who are these people? Who are you? Who are you as an individual? Who are you as a group? How would you describe yourself, your church, congregation, your friends? And what are we about? What are we about? I think we ought to give a lot of attention to that. I'm an old ex-teacher. But I could think that'd be a good writing assignment to give to a class. Who are you guys? How would you answer? What would you write? Now, I know a lot of you. And I'm impressed, favorably impressed. But we're made up of a lot of strengths and a lot of weaknesses, every last one of us, including me. Who are these people? And what are we doing here? Those were good questions that I had for them.
Sitting here thinking, that kind of a rare thing for me. And what Dell was saying, when we went out in our teams today, we didn't go out alone, just in our teams. Our team was not alone. And that came through to me when I had to go down to Ottumwa to get some things that we needed, caulk being one of them. And this gentleman down there at this parts department asked me what we were doing. I kind of told him that we were fixing an old camper so someone could kind of live happily in it. And I didn't ask for anything, just told him what we needed. And he said, I'm going to give you this for what it cost us. And amen. You know, but, you know, there are other people out there that will help. And we just have to make them aware of the need, and they will help. I always remind some of those stories in the Bible when you go to this gentleman, he'll supply you with a donkey, and you go over here, and he'll have something for you. So God has other people out there for us as helpers.
Well, no one really touched on another thought that I had of the benefit of this afternoon's project. I think
as much as we were blessing our community, I think we were getting to know each other in a different kind of capacity. And I think that was one of the unexpected blessings for me anyway, is I was with people, some people I knew, but other people that I'd not met at all, as well as others that I kind of knew a little bit. But that was, you know, it forced us together, in a sense, to speak with each other, to have a joint project where we had to do some work together and get to know each other a little bit anyway. And then it was up to us how we took that from there. But, you know, I think this was a great first adventure for Iowa Yearly Meeting, and I hope we'll do it again.
The song that we sang earlier, You're the Church, it's a beautiful thing. If you, another analysis, and I could be overly analytical at times, do you realize that as we sit here, we have people of all ages, all sharing, all laughing, and I dare say enjoying one another in church? That is contagious. Everything that we designed this week and planned and tried to do was reproducible, is to be reproducible in your local meetings. And can I share with you this? All of the work projects and all the efforts and all the lives that were touched today, I think that we had less than $500 in it, and I want to say even around $300, if that. It doesn't take a lot of money to build relationships. We're in the relationship-making business, not programs, not curriculums, although those things are important. Don't forget why we do what we do. It's about making disciples. It's about sharing the love of Christ with people who may think we're weird at times, and there may be some truth in that. But nonetheless, what a great opportunity for you to be revived, to go back in revival of the mission of the church, to see your communities through the eyes of Jesus, and to be willing to take a risk, to make a connection like these guys did, like everybody did today. What a difference it will make in our communities.
That I've been feeling this week, it's the word risk. If we look at the parable of the talents, the person that was given 5 talents, the other given 2, the other given 1, the landowner goes away and returns, the 5 has doubled, the 2 has doubled, the 1 buried their talent in the ground. And we've always heard that as a stewardship sermon about money. But when I read the Ragamuffin Gospel by Brennan Manning, he gives an interpretation I've never heard before, is that the landowner condemns the one who buried the talent in the ground because he was not willing to risk. And I have to confess that when Kathy gave her testimony, when she used the word risk about a church risking on her, is that I've looked back in my life and I've thought about the people who've risked for me. And now I'm asking the question of Justin. Am I really risky? Am I risking God? Am I willing to step out and be bold and vulnerable to people? Or am I just going to stay in my comfortable office and in my comfortable church and in my comfortable atmosphere? I think that's the great temptation for us, is to become people who become riskless. And one of the things about risk is, if I'm not risking God, then what does that say about the quality of my faith? About me trusting God? And the thing that catches me about that parable is that the one who buried the talent in the ground, who was not willing to risk, was afraid. I knew you were a hard taskmaster, and I was afraid. And over in Scripture, we are told, fear not, for I am with you. And what's been beautiful about today, as we kind of pull this all together, is the risks. Not only the risks of going out, but the risks of getting to know each other in a different way, which builds confidence in the body of Christ so that we risk more. We trust God more. And I really, I want to say that I want to become more risky for Christ. And I'm risky in lots of ways, but I also realize there's some places I'm fearful in some relationships. And I want to confess my own fear that in lots of ways I am not trusting the living Christ in some situations. And I want to become a person who is, well, I want to become like George Fox. I want to become like those early Quakers that just risked everything for their Lord. That's who I want to become. I'm not there yet, but that's the direction I want to move in. And I really think that's really, really what the Holy Spirit's been saying to our yearly meeting about speaking out and sharing our faith with our tongues, with our lips, risking reaching out in ways that are not comfortable for us. Because we have a great theology. We have a great God. We have good news. And I think it's worth risking.
Amen.
I've been waiting to hear a report of a committee that Mike Martin and Mary Thury headed up. And that was the Records Committee. And there were several of us that gathered to help them. Now, when Mike was much younger, his mother, my twin sister, was chairman of that committee. And I drove from Cedar Rapids to help with it, and then got much more involved than I had planned, but I've enjoyed the work. Well, today, the work was getting rid of many papers that were already on reports that were on file, and we didn't need to keep the paper copy unless it was something that we felt listed people's names in a way that we wanted to remember the work that they had done in the yearly meeting. So we were careful, but you're going to meet a lady who's your secretary. She's worked very hard getting ready for this time, this week. And she's going to have smiles on her face, but you want to straighten your shoulders because I think you might have to help carry a whole lot of big bags of paper up when you have the shredder come in. But it also is going to release a lot of space down in the vault for other records that need to be filed. So while it was fun, but it was very important work to do. So look at her with a smile, and then when she says, please help carry up for the shredder, say, yes, I'm ready.
I'm calling Sarah Radcliffe. She's the beast. She told me how strong the ladies were needed. They didn't need any men today, and I think that's awesome. I think it's okay to have fun in church. I think we should have fun. I think people should see us as worth emulating. And when we're touching lives, it makes a difference in the lives we touch. May not have touched everybody in Oskaloosa, but we made a difference in some people's lives. That can happen in your community. When we begin to see ourselves and the world around us through the eyes of Christ, we make a difference. We can make an impact. One life at a time. Revival begins one heart at a time. I've heard somebody say that if you want to see revival take place, you draw a circle, you step in the middle. That's where it begins. Thank you, Iowa Yearly Meeting, for a great week. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for enjoying working. Thanks for sharing tonight.